This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and thank you for tuning in this evening. Today is Friday, March 4th, 2016. This is John Friend, and you are listening to The Realist Report right here on the one and only RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Happy Friday to everyone out there listening. We are coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. Yeah, and I'm hearing that echo too. I was afraid that this would happen. I may have to switch over to my cell phone and see if that works. I'm sorry, hold on one second, guys. Let me just okay, is it gone now? Yeah, I can totally hear myself talking. Yeah. Okay, Sinead is gonna be with me for the first hour and she's here on the Skype call. Let me try my cell phone. Cause I'm in an apartment right now and it's kind of, well, now I don't hear the echo. Can you guys still hear the echo? You guys on Skype here? Okay.
It's gone now, John. It's gone.
Okay. Sorry about that, everyone. Back to the introduction. I'm coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. I hope everyone out there is tuning into all the great programs here on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Check out the website for the full lineup and the archives of past shows. Of course, my site is therealistreport.com, and I do encourage listeners to consider subscribing. Simply visit the website and hover your mouse over the members tab in the main menu bar right there at the top of the site. You will see a subscribe now link. Once you click that, you will see all of the details and information regarding subscriptions to The Realist Report. I'll have some more updates about the subscription feature later on in this broadcast. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. You can find both of those pages directly from my website. They're both located on the right-hand sidebar. We also have an email subscription feature where you can follow the website via email and be notified when a new post goes up. You will see the subscribe to our newsletter box on the upper right-hand sidebar as well. Simply enter your email, and once you confirm, you will be added to the mailing list. And as I've already mentioned, this evening I have Sinead McCarthy, a fellow host here on Renegade. She really needs no introduction. She's an awesome radio host and has a very unique perspective on a variety of topics. And we have a lot to talk about this hour. So without further delay, Sinead, welcome. How are you this evening?
Hi, John. Thanks. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had a feeling that we were going to have some audio issues, but it's
been unreal. Just trying to even have a conversation with anyone on Skype has been ridiculous. Like, it never works for me. I don't know. Ever since that show.
Yeah. And I usually don't have problems, but I had a feeling tonight I would, because I don't have my usual setup. I'm basically speaking into my computer right now, and I have earbuds in, but the apartment that I'm in, it's very, you know, I can like hear myself sort of echoing, and I don't know if it's coming across that way on Skype, but it's just kind of a, you know, obviously a different environment than I'm used to, doing these broadcasts in. But anyways, I am out here in Washington, D.C. It's absolutely freezing cold. I'm so spoiled being in California. I'm not used to this cold weather, and it's I mean, I grew up in Nebraska, so I'm, you know, I've grown up in cold weather, but it's just when you're used to 70 degrees and sunny like every single day, it's kind of an adjustment going to the East Coast and dealing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, your blood thins out. I know because I've been down in Florida for a few years, and when it gets, you know, like in the 50s or 60s, I'm freezing. And then I'm thinking, okay, I got to stop complaining.
I know exactly. I feel like such a baby. And I'm not even trying to complain. I'm just being...
I know, yeah.
I'm just being like totally honest right now. And it's...
yeah, it's hard for us to handle.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Frail.
But anyways, I got in last night. I got in late last night. And I ended up meeting up with Kevin McDonald today. I went down to the hotel that he's staying at, and I did a cool little video interview with him. I have 5 different segments that I'll be uploading to YouTube. I was trying to upload it earlier this afternoon, but it just would take too long for it to actually upload all 5 videos. So I'm just going to do it after the radio program tonight. So those should be online by tomorrow morning. And he's a great guy. I've obviously been very much influenced by his writing and, you know, by all the books that he's written. I've interviewed him multiple times on the Realist Report in the past. So that was cool. I got a chance to meet him, and I've met him before, but I got a chance to like interview him with a video camera. So it was really neat. Tomorrow I'm going to be meeting up with Pete Papaheracles. He was a regular reporter for American Free Press, and he also contributed to the Barnes Review. Lately, he hasn't really been contributing. He's been just too busy, it sounds like. But tomorrow, he's going to come over here to where I'm staying, and we're going to do some video interviews. And then, of course, the NPI conference is tomorrow evening, which I'll
Ooh.
Be... Yeah, which I'll be...
Exciting!
Yes. Yes, I'll be attending, and Sinead will talk all about it. I want to get your take on.
Well, I just, topics. You know, first of all, I want to know what you're wearing tomorrow. What, like Dolce & Gabbana, Versace, what is it going to be?
I am going to be wearing jeans and a sports coat and just, you know, like a regular nice shirt.
Jeans, I like it. So you're going like casual, but still a jacket, like still a blazer. I like that.
Right, yes.
But you don't have your fashy haircut, so I don't know if you're going to fit in, John.
Yeah, I don't really have a fashy haircut. I just have a buzz cut, and I cut my own hair. I'm kind of cheap, so I'm not really the fashy type. But yeah, no. Let's get into that real quick before we do, Sinead. I just wanted to thank you again for subscribing to the Realist Report. You are a subscriber, and just mention really quick. We did reach we reached our goal. We got over 100 subscribers by March 1st, and right now I think we're at like 110, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so it's going really well, and I'll have some more updates later on in the program. You know, we obviously have a lot to talk about, so I don't really want to waste too much time with that. But I just wanted to say thank you for subscribing. Yeah, I really
it's such a good deal. I mean, $75 for a lifetime membership. Hello, like that's a steal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so too. I mean, it really isn't a lot of money for a lifetime membership.
Oh.
And on March 1st, I actually increased it to $100. I was going to totally eliminate the lifetime membership option.
I think it's a good idea.
I like it because it's unique. Yeah. I don't see anybody else really doing it.
No.
And, I mean, you know, it is a good deal, and it's a good way to support, you know, what I'm doing and what we're doing generally. So anyways, again, I'll have some more updates later on in this program here. But Sinead, I wanted to talk primarily about the conference and the alt-right and some of the, well, frankly, I guess it's, you know, some drama that's been going on in the alternative media. Really just kind of in these pro-white circles and whatnot. And really, I mean, I don't think it's really that big of a deal. You know, I think most of the people that are paying attention to this are already, you know, in this movement. I don't think it's really like reflecting too poorly on the general struggle or anything like that. It's just, you know, a lot of things have been said, and I just want to be clear about it, and I want to get your take on it. And really kind of just, I guess really just set the record straight, at least as far as I'm concerned and for you as well. Because I mean, I am a big fan of what you do in Renegade in general. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, despite, you know, like, for example, your and I, you know, our differences with Christianity and some other issues, you know, we both really are kind of renegades. I mean, I certainly don't think I really fit in with the alt-right or with, you know, any of these other sort of cliques. You know, I like to do my own thing. I like to say what's on my mind, and you do as well. I like to talk about a variety of topics, a variety of very controversial topics. And frankly, I don't want anybody telling me what I can or cannot talk about. And I think you're the same way.
So,
and I mean, that's really what this all boils down to. So, I mean, you know, just to get started, I mean, I guess let's start. Could you maybe, and we talked about this last week, when Drew hosted a show, actually a week ago from today. What are your primary critiques of the alt-right? Like, what exactly is wrong with the alt-right, in your opinion?
Well, everything. Okay. So I'll start with going back to neo-reactionary, NRX. Are you familiar with this term or label that was used?
Right. Yeah. I've read a little bit about it. I never followed the movement. I didn't know much about it, but I mean, I've read some of the posts on the Tribune about it. So
yeah, I wasn't
familiar with it.
Yeah, I wasn't really familiar with it either when it was going on, because it seemed that it got kind of outed as being just a philo-Semitic movement, just like the alt-right. And it was predominantly like nerdy guys, you know, like kind of like your anime basement dweller types that are popping up in abundance again. So they kind of went underground, and then I think they just rebranded themselves as the alt-right. And really all that the alt-right is, and now I'm not saying anybody that's got sucked into this big net, because this is a controlled opposition, in my opinion. I'm not putting words into John's mouth here. It's an absolute controlled opposition. It's so obvious. But what they did is they basically just repurposed the manosphere and MGTOW and all these types, let's blame feminism, not the Jews. Let's blame female nature and not the Jews. Let's blame weak white men and not the Jews. So it's just been repurposed. And I see that, I mean, you have Matt Forney going to the NPI conference. I mean, this is a joke. This guy is a freaking race mixer who writes books about how to go and take advantage of poor Filipino women so they'll have sex with you, because if you're such a disgusting fat piece of shit like Matt Forney, you can't get a girlfriend here. You will never find a white woman that would ever want you. So you got to go to the Philippines. And he even has written articles about how to beat your wife and get away with it. So why the hell would any woman in their right mind want to attend the NPI or be part of the alt-right? The only women I see really are Lana and A Wife with a Purpose, who constantly throw women under the bus, never condemn people like Roosh or these insane MGTOW people that are blaming all women, like this Black Pigeon Speaks video that came out. But they'll constantly condemn feminism and women so they can remain queen bee amongst all their little beta bitches. And, you know, and they can just, I don't know, feel better about themselves if they're not complete shills. I'm sorry. I can't censor myself anymore. I'm so fed up with this stuff. And we're constantly told that you're dividing the movement. You're fighting, because I'm pointing out the obvious and people don't like to hear the truth. So I think Richard Spencer is a complete gay, like, deviant. It's really obvious. I think his wife is just a cover. He's been pushing this gay stuff since 2014. If you go back on his Twitter, which he has me blocked, but other people have found it, he says something like, being gay is the last stand of implicit whiteness. I mean, are you serious? It's absolutely ridiculous. And the alt-right constantly pushes that women should not be allowed to vote because they have voted us into this mess. And women need to be married off at 15 years old and start popping out kids. And women need to be traditional and not speak up and state their opinion or disagree with anyone, because then you're an evil feminist and you're hysterical and blah, blah, blah. So in a nutshell, that's my issues with the alt-kike movement.
Well, you certainly do not censor yourself. And I respect
that. I can't anymore, John. I just can't.
No, I wouldn't expect you to. I mean, I respect your point of view. And I mean, I really do think that you have made you and Kyle and other people at Renegade, I think you guys have made a lot of entirely valid critiques. And one point that I've always made is that, you know, for me, especially, I mean, I can only really speak for myself. If I'm going to critique someone, I'm going to be specific. I'm going to, you know, specifically name who I am critiquing or what it is I am specifically critiquing. And you guys have certainly been doing that. So that I respect. Although, I mean, I think, and maybe I just don't know enough about this. You know, I'm not, you know, I haven't followed any of these movements. You know, I've been, you know, trying to do my own thing and, you know, just be as productive as I can. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're not either, but I'm just saying I haven't really followed all these details with the alt-right. I frankly don't know a whole lot about Richard Spencer, at least his past. I did meet him and I you know, hung out with him for a little bit, him and Sam Dixon, the last NPI conference. This was after the actual event. And I mean, to my knowledge, he told me he was married. Apparently he has I don't know if it's a son or daughter, but he just had a child. So, I mean, to my knowledge, he is not a homosexual. I don't really know what his past is or what he said about homosexuality in the past. I agree that having a person like Jack Donovan come and speak about masculinity is sort of suspect, considering that he is himself gay. Although that being said, I will say that I think Jack Donovan does make very legitimate points.
Of course he does, because he's an agent. He has to rope you in with some truth. I mean, and I'm not putting words in your mouth again, but I mean, what straight married man with children hangs out with a flaming faggot? I'm sorry. Like, if my husband was hanging out with Jack Donovan, I would say you're a fucking weirdo and I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. But I guess that's just me. I mean, that's right. Just very strange to me. Why would you hang out with a homosexual man who says women pollute the space?
Right. No. And I mean, I hear you. I totally hear you. And I put it this way. I mean, if I were organizing a conference and I wanted someone to come and talk about masculinity, I wouldn't be contacting Jack Donovan, even if he does have a lot of, you know, very important and valid things to say about the subject. He's, you know, that's not the person that I would go to.
See, I think Jack Donovan could be a very powerful speaker if he was speaking to these young men about how he lived a destructive life and how he has now gotten back on the right track, but he clearly isn't on the right track. But see, people with bad pasts, I will never hold that against them if they're bettering themselves today, because I do not have a squeaky clean past. I did drugs. I drank. I was a piece of crap. So I have no stones to throw in that department. But see, where I draw the line is, are you still a degenerate? Are you trying to make yourself better? Or are you just like reveling in your degeneracy? And this guy brags about, you know, doing dudes with daddy issues and taking advantage of people and cheating on his boyfriend. And it's like, it's just, he's pushing terrible, terrible stuff onto our people. And I just see this huge double standard, because if you had some feminist bull dyke, okay, that was saying like men pollute the space and oh, men suck and this and that, and just bragging about how it's great to be a lesbian because, you know, men are so disgusting, everyone would have a fit. But there's a huge double standard. And that's why you're not going to see a lot of women at that conference tomorrow, because they don't want to touch these guys with a 10-foot pole. They're constantly blamed for everything. They're told that they're hysterical for having emotions. They're told that everything in the world is their fault. So what? I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep women away. And that's what I think this operation is all about. You know, okay. I'm really seeing this ramping up now, because if women and men can come together, especially young, pretty women, if they can preach, you know, pro-white stuff and go out there and talk to them about National Socialism or talk to them about Jews, women are much more, people will be more open to it. We're much more approachable. Not to say that we're better, but that's because people hate white men. I mean, well, let's be honest. They, you know, you guys have been vilified and so have white women, but we still have a little bit more leeway with the general population.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. Well, that I agree with. I mean, I'm all for, you know, bringing women into the movement. I mean, my goodness, who wouldn't be? And, you know, I guess I just, again, I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, kind of ignorant when it comes to all these sort of, I guess, anti-woman or MGTOW type websites and people presenting information. I just don't really follow this stuff. And, you know, for example, for me, I mean, when I think of the alt-right, I think of the, what's that website? The Right Stuff. I think of like the Right Stuff.
Their podcast. Me, who hate Michelle, who, I mean, you know, they have on waifus. They don't even call these women women. They're just like sideshows. I mean, it's a joke. I don't know why any woman would want to be called a waifu. I know it's a joke or whatever, but I mean, they even when they interviewed me, and obviously they took it down because, oh, I'm such an embarrassment to their really awesome stuff. They said that they were honestly having a discussion if they should let women in the alt-right. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? We don't want to be in the alt-right. It's just right. a stupid little boys club. Like, no one wants to be in it. No actual healthy woman wants to be part of that. There's a lot of psychologically damaged women in there that, you know, feel like they need to blame all women and, you know, look at themselves as fundamentally flawed because they are women. And I'm not saying that women need to be given a free pass. We need to take responsibility for our actions, but we should not be blamed for things we never even voted for.
Well, now that I totally agree with. And anybody out there, you know, placing all the blame on women, for example, you know, in regards to our current predicament, I think that is just absolutely ridiculous. It's absurd. I mean, as you know, as I talk about all the time and write about all the time, it is the Jews behind pretty much all of this, certainly all this anti-white crap. Now, that doesn't mean that feminism hasn't played a role or that women haven't played a role, but to blame women, you know, as if they're the problem or something, I think is very misguided and wrong, frankly. And I mean, maybe some people are saying that. I really, you obviously would probably know more than I would.
Oh, you have no idea, John. Like, we get freaking the creepiest people, like, threatening us and making videos about us saying, I'm going to come get you, like, freaky stuff. And okay, I know it's easy to say, oh, just don't feed into it. Oh, don't listen to it. But it's like nonstop.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up, because from my perspective, when I think of the alt-right, as I said, I think of the right stuff. I think of, I guess, you know, you do think of Richard Spencer because he kind of coined the term or whatever, at least allegedly. But I mean, really, the alt-right to me is, if I had to describe it, it would be pro-white, obviously, racial realists, even anti-Jewish. I mean, I see a lot of people affiliated.
See, now I'm seeing pro-Israel people with the alt-right hashtag. So it's just wide open for infiltration. Right. And that's why this whole Big Ten idea is retarded.
Right.
Because now they're like, well, we can't disclude Roosh, the Arab rapist. Oh, we can't disclude Jews. But no, women got to get the fuck out of here. Go away. I mean, really, this is what it is. And, you know, when you say TRS, I think that some of the guys there are good guys. But really, I mean, they write songs about Richard Spencer. I mean, like, really? This is so gay. Sorry. Like, really? Like,
I understand what you're saying. When I first heard it, I was laughing my ass off. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was hilarious. And I think that
there's like fanboys.
Yeah. And I mean, I hear
that what men do, John. Do men write songs about another man's haircut?
No, let's be serious.
No, they don't. They're like little boys.
I'm not writing any songs about Richard Spencer or anybody else. And I don't think Kyle or Sean or anybody else here would. But at the same time, I mean, they joke around. They like to have fun. And their shows are pretty entertaining. I mean, I was a lot more impressed with them when I first started listening. Now, I mean, you know, I do like him and I do respect him. I've met some of the guys that are, you know, that are on that show. And I think they do pretty good work. But I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. But I mean, I guess my point is that the alt-right, it's really sort of, it's such a vague term. I mean, anybody could consider themselves alt-right. And I agree, there probably are a lot of degenerates and maybe infiltrators or agents perhaps involved in it.
I think they're leading it. I don't think they're involved. I think they're leading it. It's just like a textbook version of controlled opposition, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, so you're saying, like, for example, Richard Spencer is an outright agent.
Richard Spencer. I mean,
no, but
why are all of these gay guys, Greg Johnson, James O'Mara, you have, you know, Matt Forney, you have Andy Nowicki, who wants to marry off 15-year-old girls. I just see a lot of creepers and perverts. You have Ramsey Paul, who's done, you know, videos about how white women are jealous of Asians, and he pals around with Mike Cernovich, who are Jewish pickup artists. I mean, all I see is just kikes, pickup artists, and faggots leading this movement. And the fanboys that hang on their every word and say, oh, good job, Richard Spencer. I'm going to write a song about you. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. And that's why these guys hate me so much, because I call it like I see it. And no woman or no female is telling them this stuff. They're just like, oh, good job, guys. Yeah, that's funny. When really, these guys should be out there talking about the Jew. They should be out there, you know, doing activism and raising awareness. But no, since Trump's running now, we'll just talk about Trump all the time and no one will do anything because Trump's going to do it. I mean, the activism has gone from, you know, full on to just like completely nothing since Trump has ran. And that's why I think he's a pressure valve, because everyone assumes that Trump's going to do it. I don't have to do anything. But I don't believe that's the case. I mean, we only have a few thousand pro-white activists, and instead of them going out and using this like you are to, you know, to bring more people into our talking points, they're just sitting back and posting Trump memes and saying, oh, I'm just going to join the, you know, the millions of other followers that he has, when really our core group of several thousand pro-white people that are aware of white genocide should be out there ramping up their activism more than ever. But that's why I see this Trump thing as such a dangerous trap, because everyone is sitting back and not doing anything now. And I'm not saying you are, because you're doing a lot, John.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just talking about your general pro-white person. It's just, oh, Trump memes all day, Trump memes. But it's like, okay, well, he doesn't need your help. We need your help. We need you to get out there and start naming the Jew.
Well, I think, okay, I hear you. And I think what this all boils down to is, you know, the internet, and I don't think this has really been written about or talked about nearly enough. And that is how the internet has changed society, really, because people will literally sit on their computers all day long and, you know, gossip in comment sections and go on Facebook and Twitter and just, you know, engage in this like really sort of childish behavior, in my opinion, rather than going out and talking to people and meeting people or doing activism or doing whatever in the real world. It sort of replaced reality. And I think that is a problem. But I mean, at the same time, I don't think that everyone has what it takes to do what you and I are doing. You know what I mean?
No, they might not, but they can hang up a damn piece of paper. I mean, holy crap, it's not that hard.
Sure. Sure. No, and like, I agree. I mean, yeah, that's definitely true. But yeah. I mean, just the nature of the internet, how it's changed communications, how it's changed social interactions, for example. And this is something that I noticed very early on. I was really sort of baffled by this, you know, trolling on the internet and just these people that are like, I mean, losers, I guess. Like, they really would just be on their computer all day long and just talk shit. And I never understood that. I'm like, oh my goodness, is like, do they not have anything to do in the real world? And so the approach that I've taken is just simply to ignore these people, to not engage them. I think it's a total waste of time. I think it's an even bigger waste of energy. Plus, this is what these people want and what they need.
Right, I hear you. Yeah.
I mean, this is what they thrive on. This is where they get us derailed, is when we're focusing on some anonymous fucking Twitter user or some anonymous commentator that's, you know, talking shit. You know, I mean,
yeah, it's different when people are, okay, basically like threatening my life, saying they're going to come kill me or rape me or something. And then when, you know, it's different when I'm, you know, just trying to do things that I'm constantly, you know, honest people that are just trying to find the truth. They're told all these crazy things about me, that I'm a race mixer, that I have a mulatto child, that I prostitute myself for drugs. I mean, like the most ridiculous stuff. And of course, since we're in this movement or this, you know, whatever it is, where no one can trust each other because there's so much infiltration, everyone constantly is calling me a shill and a fed and this and that and this and that. And it really gets on my nerves, because I put my heart and my soul into this every single day. And it seems like it's hard. I'm not trying to be all woe is me here, but it's a lot more difficult, I'd say, for the females that are trying, because just we're really, really hit hard with this stuff. And it just like grades on our nerves, because all we're trying to do is activate other people to stand up and do things. But, you know, we just get...
Sinead, hang tight. Yeah, we'll be right back and we'll pick this up. Watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I
vectors, rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming.
Are you tired of being lied to? Are you sick of the cultural Marxist anti-white propaganda poisoning the minds and souls of our children, friends, and family? Are you looking for honest, objective political and historical analysis? Check out therealistreport.com and subscribe today. Help us compete with and ultimately replace the mainstream mass media. We have the ability, the dedication, and the courage to stand up for the truth and for our children's future. Your subscription will grant you access to exclusive members-only content, which consists of hard-hitting and truly unique political and historical commentary from a pro-white perspective. Visit therealistreport.com for more details.
She told me I've been missing you. He said leave out, no, she says stay. She kissed my lips and quickly ran away. Lost some bonds to my overcoat. Pull your knife away from my throat. She said, smoke your cigarette, I hope you choke. Kiss my lips and quickly ran away.
All right, folks, welcome back to The Realist Report. We are live tonight on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. I have Sinead with me. She is a fellow host here on the network, and we are talking about the NPI conference, which I'll be attending to tomorrow. By the way, Sinead, I thought I was going to get like thrown off the network for going to this conference.
No.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
No, yeah, we're talking about the NPI conference. We're talking about the alt-right, and many other subjects. And I mean, I guess, like, I really don't want anything. I don't want to be involved in any of this drama, to be honest with you. I understand if you guys want to make your critiques of people, that's fine. I really don't want anything to do with it because I know a lot of these people and I don't necessarily agree with everything that you and others are saying here on the network.
Well, what don't you agree with? I'm just curious. I mean,
I don't think that there's any proof or evidence to demonstrate that these people are outright agents, for example. That's one point.
So they're just pushing gay anti-women stuff because they're degenerates then? I mean, it's possible.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any like concrete, you know, evidence. If I'm going to call someone an agent or an infiltrator, I mean, I'm going to want some very legitimate proof to demonstrate.
Okay. Well, how about how we can, no one is allowed to see Dickie's annual tax report, even though it's a 501c3 that should be available to the public. And also I have his tax information right in front of me here because it's open to the public and I am all for finding evidence. Right.
Right.
So, he's making $125,000 in donations. I mean, what does this guy do? He doesn't work. His mentor was a Jew. He hangs around with people like Jack Donovan. I mean, to me, it's just so obvious. I mean, I understand that people need more evidence, but it's like, what more do you need here? I mean, what more evidence would you need to see this? Like, do you actually need to see like hear him admitted or I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't see any reason to believe that he's like some sort of government infiltrator. I think he has his own take on things, and I think he makes some good points. But there's a lot of things. I just approach things entirely differently than a guy like Richard Spencer. I think that the main thing, and I mean, I really don't even follow anything that he does. I mean, honestly, like I don't listen to his podcast.
I've heard him on
Renegade, and you know, I thought he had some interesting things to say. Again, some of which I agreed, some of which I didn't. I think the main thing that I think is great what he's doing is organizing these conferences.
But what are you guys going to accomplish at this conference? I'm sorry, like I know that you, John, you'll go out there and make, you'll make connections and stuff. Sorry, I was just notified that the $125,000 was in donations. It was not, I guess, in things that they acquired. So I just, you know, they obviously have wealthy donors. We know there are a lot of wealthy gays. But what is going to be accomplished at this conference? You're just going to talk about Trump? I mean, are you guys going to be waking up anybody new to our ideas? No.
Well,
I mean, what is going to be accomplished? I know you'll make connections because you are that kind of guy. But everybody else, right. What is Nathan going to do there? Like, what is he really going to do is so helpful to our cause? And what has Dickie Spencer done that has been helpful to our cause? I mean, he makes money off of you guys buying tickets to his stupid conference. I don't understand why this guy is so worshipped. He's done nothing. What has he done?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not trying to worship him, but I understand.
No, I know you're not.
I guess some people kind of do. Well, I mean, I think this is my own personal opinion. I think what he's doing with these conferences is a big deal. I think it's cool. I think it's great for the movement in general. I mean, I think it makes a big statement that, you know,
to who?
The people that are pro-white can come together and like actually do a conference like this.
What are you accomplishing though?
Well, I mean, me personally, I guess, you know, as you said, you know, I'm here to network with people, to do interviews, to meet people in DC that I know, you know, to have
fun. I mean, you're a journalist, like you're covering this event, but see, more people are just going to, like, I don't know, listen to these people that they look up to. And I really don't understand why these people are idolized. Like I don't think they are good role models personally. I just really don't get it. And sure. You know, I never understood either why they invited Lana and Henrik and didn't even have, like, Henrik speak. If Henrik is straight, I don't even know anymore. But if he is, he should have been the one lecturing about masculinity. Like, I don't know.
Well, Lana and Henrik both sat on a panel the last time. And they did good. It was a good conversation. Well, I mean, you could make this argument about any I mean, why hold a conference in general? I mean, why does
I agree. I think conferences are a waste of frickin' time. I mean, I'm all for the meetups. I think it's great for people to meet up and get to know each other. But why pay some dude hundreds of dollars to sit in a little conference room and drink cocktails when you could have, I don't know, just like gone out and done street activism in DC and talked to people that aren't even aware of these things yet?
Maybe that's where we come in and we organize something like that. This is one thing that I've said before, and I think it's very important. Each one of us has a role to play in this, and I'd like to think, and obviously this is not the case, but I'd like to think that we could all recognize that we're on the same team, and maybe
I don't think we are though, John.
Well, right, I that's what I'm saying. I mean, maybe we're not all on the same team. I guess, in my opinion, I mean, there have been so many things. I mean, my life has been crazy the past 10. I mean, really, my whole life, but the past 10 years especially, so many things have happened to me, and I just have no time or energy for this sort of, you know, like negative shit all the time. I mean, I'm already dealing with negativity on a daily basis with the things that I talk about. I just don't have time or energy in my life.
What do you mean by negative? Do you mean by like being critical of people that I don't trust because I think they are controlled opposition? I mean, I honestly don't want to be doing this.
Okay. Well, this is exactly what I mean then. So let me ask you this. What is the most productive use of our time on this earth? We have, I mean, think about our lives. I mean, we have, it's a snap of the fingers and, you know, when it's all said and done, we have a very limited amount of time on this earth to make a difference, to do what we feel is right. Is the most productive use of our time right now in 2016, when Trump is running, is the most productive use of our time, you know, going around attacking and critiquing Trump and the alt-right? Or,
Sean,
is it more productive to promote our own unique message and standing up for what we believe in, offering our own solutions, our own unique perspectives on what's going on, our own? I mean, to me, that's what I'm focused on.
Right, John. But here's my thing. No one is calling out these people. So I am backed into a corner. I'm going to be the bad guy constantly because I'm going to call them out. It's just so clear to me that this is a controlled opposition. They're scaring away women. They're scaring away just normal people because they don't want anything to do with this faggot stuff. So I'm gonna call it like I see it. I don't want to be this person. I wish that people would actually be more vigilant and look into these people and really scrutinize what they're saying. And I hope people do the same thing for me too. You know, like hold me accountable. If I say something and I don't follow through with it, call me on that, you know? But I don't want to spend my time calling out people like Angelo, but no one else will do it. And everyone is way too trustworthy of these people. So they'll say, oh, well, they're saying some good things about, you know, Jews or about white genocide. And then you'll have Angelo go and say that you're a bad parent if you don't shoot your kid full of poisons. And no one calls him out. So I am constantly backed into this corner and I have to be the bad guy. And since everyone hates me already, I'm just going to continue to do it because... And I'm not saying I'm attacking everybody. That's ridiculous. I'm so sick of hearing that, ugh, you're attacking everybody. I'm attacked on a daily basis. I'm simply defending myself, and I'm calling out lies. I fucking hate liars, and I will not tolerate it. So I don't want to spend my time talking about these people. I really could give two shits about them, but I'm going to call out their bullshit that they're pushing on everybody, and that's it.
Well, you know what, Sinead, I'll tell you this. I mean, I totally respect you, and you have to do you. You know what I mean? Like, you have your own take, you have your own way of doing things, and I respect that. I absolutely respect it, even if I don't necessarily agree with how you approach things every single time. But that, I mean, that's not even really for me, you know, to determine. That's up to you. I guess, I don't know. I guess we just both have different strategies, really, is what it boils down to. And what I'm trying to do, especially with this Trump campaign, I mean, I think this is huge for the movement, for the pro-white cause, for white people generally, for, you know, restoring some sort of sanity to our society, to our world. I think we have a huge opportunity here. And rather than, you know, maybe critiquing Trump or critiquing the alt-right, I'd rather promote my own message and my, you know, my own vision for the future, my own points. And I'm not saying you don't do that or others here on the network don't do that. I think a lot of this is sort of, I just don't think it's the most productive use of our time, really, is what it boils down to. And I think a lot of these people out there that are attacking you, and I don't know all the details, you know, I think their goal is to get you to respond to them, to get you to pay attention to them.
Well, but see, okay, you can say it's trolls, but it's actual people like Lana Loctef. Like, what the hell happened there? I just called her out on the clear as day fact that she was defending an Arab rapist. And then all of a sudden I'm bipolar and she's got all her little minions hating me. I mean, it's just been absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, well, I don't think that I waste my time at all.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, again, I hear what you're saying. Let's quickly talk about Gage. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, I mean, I'm friends with him. I don't know him that well. I'm sure I'll see him tomorrow at the NPI conference. And, you know, his video about the vaccines thing, I was so baffled seeing that. Like, where did that come from? Now talk about a counterproductive thing to do. That was total. Why the hell did he? I'm going to ask him tomorrow. I don't even understand why he even made that video. It was almost.
I know why he made that video.
It was almost as if he was looking to provoke someone.
Yeah, like, he was looking to provoke me. Right. I mean, why would he do a video that has vaccines, chemtrails, and flat Earth in it? That was directed at me. Right. And I think it was directed at me because he knew that I would respond. And then he could go say, oh, Sinead's meanie. I'm going to go align with the alt-kike and I'm going to go to NPI. And then bingo, as soon as I came out with that video, he attempted to refute it, which was a pathetic attempt because I nailed him. I mean, those are the facts, buddy. Read it and weep. So he tried to do that. And then all of a sudden he comes out with this power through discipline. We need to stop naming the Jew. You're a weak little pussy if you talk about the Jews. And then he came out with, oh, everybody come to NPI. It's going to be a great event. And then he came out with this hour-long like seminar with his little whiteboard talking about how if you name the Jew, you're the enemy. So this guy's a fucking shill. I'm sorry. Like, it is so obvious to me. I don't know why everybody still trusts this guy. And this is my deal. I feel very foolish and stupid because I believed this dude. I liked him. I thought that he was a good person. But I'm sorry. Can you imagine if I went out and did all of these things right now? I would be ripped to shreds. No one would associate with me. But someone like Angelo is given a free pass over and over and over and over again. And it's just clear as day to me what his agenda is. This guy sits on his ass and collects a PTSD check when he is more than capable of getting out there and working. If you can leave the pro-white movement and go to NPI and do little videos on your whiteboard all day, you can go out and get a job. How about all of the women that have been gang raped and are forced to still go and get a job even though they are suffering and have PTSD? I mean, they don't sit at home and collect a paycheck. So I'm sorry, why do you want a criminal, Nathan D'Amico, two guys that have PTSD, one of them a known criminal who got out of jail for using PTSD as an excuse, why do you want them leading anything? They're emotionally unstable, right? They tell me that I'm emotionally unstable, even though I have been traumatized over and over and over again in my life. But I pick myself up by the bootstraps. I go out and I get a job. I had a baby. You know, I do all these things. And just to hear these dudes that sit on their asses all day and collect a paycheck, you know, say that I'm nuts and I'm unstable. You're the motherfucker with PTSD. I mean, like, you have the diagnosis, like, yet I'm unstable because I'm emotional and passionate about this. To me, this is life or death. These fuckers are putting my children's lives at risk, okay? Angela pushing poisons onto our white children, people should be flipping out about this. But everyone is dead inside. They don't even care.
Well, let me go on the record and say I did not agree with anything Angela said in that video. And I mean, I've interviewed him a few times before. I actually interviewed him. I think I was the first person to interview him when he first came out with that that video about, I think he talked about white genocide. He talked about the war in Iraq. You know, it was when he first like sort of came on the scene. And, you know, I was sort of impressed with him. I thought he was very honest and honorable doing what he was doing. But I mean, again, I really don't know him that well. I don't even really watch too many of his videos. But the one with the vaccines, I was just baffled. Like, why the hell did he make this? And I didn't even I didn't even see that video until like a few days after he had made it, and I was just confused as hell with it. And I think the critiques that you made in your video were entirely valid. Again, I don't know if I would have done it the way you did, but you know that's your own style, and I support that. But yeah, I mean, it is sort of just weird what's been going on. And I mean, like Nathan D'Amico, Gage and D'Amico, I mean, I wish these guys the best. I hope they do, you know, I hope they are successful with this National Youth Front. I'm not involved with that. I did join it back when Angela was the chairman, and Nathan has refunded me my money. He actually sent me an email about a month ago saying that, you know, I really wasn't a good fit for the, you know, for his organization, and I'm not, frankly. And so he refunded my money, which was cool. And the whole thing with the printer, I don't know if I've really said anything publicly, but I'm very skeptical of that whole situation. And frankly, I'm just not really impressed at all with Nathan. I mean, I don't know, you know, this guy's a leader all of a sudden. I mean,
he's
like
done absolutely nothing. Yeah, he's sat on his ass and done absolutely nothing.
This ties into Richard Spencer. I mean, love him or hate him, whatever you think about him. I mean, if you're willing to donate money to anyone, think about what they're actually doing. I mean, who is doing good work and who isn't? Now, again, I think Spencer organizing these conferences is most certainly a worthwhile thing to do and to go to. I mean, I've met all sorts of cool people out here, you know, since last time I came. I'm sure I'll meet cool people tomorrow and make good connections and hopefully get some good footage and stuff like that and some good photos. But again, I mean, like, think about who you're really supporting. If you're going to donate money to someone, make sure that they're actually busting their ass and make sure that they're serious about this. Now, when someone makes a pledge to do something like buy a printer, for example, and, you know, they raise a bunch of money for it, and then months later, we still haven't seen the results. I mean, come on, guys, let's get serious here.
Right. All they had to do was just send out an email and be like, hey, you know, just communicate with people, but they didn't do anything. And the reason that everybody donated is because Angelo actually got stuff done for the time being. I mean, he went out and did some real activism.
He did. Yeah. And that's why I was like on board with it.
Right. And then, I got to retire. And then Nathan takes over and does jack shit when he has more than enough time. He has no children. He has no relationship. He lives with his grandma who folds his laundry for him and coddles him like a little baby, and he collects a PTSD check. And, you know, like, really, you don't have time to do anything. You could, he made some like shitty podcast that was laughable, but I mean, I'm sorry. Like, these guys are not leaders. And you know what? I don't want to lead anything, really. I really would like to focus on being a mom and just having more kids, but I can't even live in a world that is somewhat safe for my children because, I'm sorry, a lot of our people are dropping the ball. They're really dropping the ball.
Well, Sinead, and this is why I think you really are so important, because you do have a lot of very good things to say. And I mean, I think your input is very valuable. And you know, not all women have your ability to do these sorts of things. So, I mean, I think that you have a lot to offer. You have a very unique take on a variety of subjects, including the flat earth, you know, theory or hypothesis or whatever, which I'm tending to agree with now. And let me go on the record and state that. I think it's a totally valid subject to talk about and discuss. And I support your right to do so. And frankly, I think you make a lot of good points. And I've looked into it myself. And I'm sort of coming to that conclusion, or at least willing to entertain the idea. And really, I think what it boils down to is, look, we are ourselves leaders. I mean, we are doing our own thing. And, you know, what I'm doing with my website, what we're doing here at Renegade, I think is, you know, very important. And I think we are providing alternatives to the sort of broader pro-white movement. Sinead, we need to organize our own damn conference. Could you imagine how much fun we'd have?
I mean, I'm all for meeting up with people, but I want to get out there on the streets. I don't want to sit in a frickin' echo chamber. Like, I would love to get together with all of you guys, but I want to be active. This is called a movement, yet we're not moving anywhere, in my opinion. It's become very stagnant, especially since Trump started running. And I'm not going to get into like, oh, he's bad, he's good, he's bad, he's both. Okay, he's both. But what I've seen, the most negative thing that I've seen from this Trump campaign, is that everyone is sitting back and not being active because they are so consumed by the Trump, you know, dog and pony show. So that is very troubling to me.
See, no,
we had a lot of momentum going as activists, and then it just kind of stopped.
Okay, and now you're specifically talking about street activism.
Street activism, propaganda, videos, documentaries, done. I have not seen any interesting podcasts coming out except from Renegade and a few other, maybe once in a while, a few other sources, obviously yours as well. Now, I haven't seen really any more like documentaries or short videos being made, no music, nothing. It's all Trump all the time. And all these guys that stay up all night making Trump memes. We don't need that, you guys. We need you out there making memes against white genocide, making memes for calling out the Jew, making memes for vaccines, making memes for all the things that are affecting us. Because I'm sorry, Trump is not going to save us. He may do a few good things, but he's not going to end usury. He's not going to call out the Jews, okay? His own grandchildren are Jewish.
But time out, though, because, I mean, who is, even in the alt-right, who is literally saying that Trump is some sort of savior? I mean, I've always been very clear, and I do totally support Trump. I think what he's doing is very important. I mean, we've seen just this past week how hysterical the media has been in critiquing Trump, denouncing Trump. The Jews are just, you know, salivating at the mouth to devour this guy. They absolutely hate him. And, I mean, he's not playing by
the... They always play both sides, okay? Just because some Jews don't like him doesn't automatically mean that he's, like, this great guy. Jews will always play both sides. So I just... Well, it's reverse psychology being used on everybody, and everybody's falling for it, and I just get really frustrated. And I'm the enemy again because I'm calling it out.
You literally have the entire political and media establishment, the left and the right, totally trashing Trump all day,
yes,
every single day.
This,
I mean,
doesn't,
this, guy,
this doesn't today, automatically
this guy is
make
such
him
a renegade.
Oh my God. No, he's not, John. You are being sucked
yes,
into this. You are being sucked into this Trump shit. I'm sorry. He is not a renegade. He is simply parroting things that people have been saying for 20 years.
Sinead,
I'm sorry.
Who has ever said on a national stage in front
not
of
not on a national stage, but that doesn't automatically make him legitimate. That doesn't automatically make him on our team. John, when has he ever said
on our team? I've never said that that Donald Trump is a white nationalist. He's not. He's absolutely not.
That's what people are saying, though.
But who? Name me one person who's saying that Donald Trump is...
People are saying that he is secretly going... He's playing the game. Just like they say with Putin, he's playing the game so then he could secretly become fewer and take over. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Well...
You know. You're You know, they're putting out like Trump, Emperor Trump, Fuhrer Trump. Oh, like he's basically the reincarnation of Benito Mussolini.
I view that as, and I mean, I don't know. I'm not like following all this stuff really, but I think that a lot of that stuff is kind of just for fun and to mock the left. At least that's my take on it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand. I mean, the Jews are literally freaking out about this.
No, they're not, John. Yes. What about his fucking Jewish advisor? What about his Jewish grandchildren? If the Jews were really freaking out about Trump, they would disown them from their family. He is a fucking kosher puppet. I'm sorry. I just don't even want to talk about it anymore because it's a waste of time. I'm just so sick of this Trump shit. I'm really done with the Trump shit. Sorry. If I see his face one more time, I'm going to fucking punch my screen. I'm over it. It's pathetic. People are resting on their laurels, not doing anything. And if he wins, this is what happens. Every time a right-wing politician or, you know, the conservatives come into power, the militias go into hiding. Look at the statistics, okay? So they think that just because someone on the right is in office, they don't have to remain vigilant anymore. And they can just sit back and wait until a lefty gets elected and then the militia will come back. That's what happens. It's all...
Oh, well, I think, I mean, really, I think Trump is pushing the discourse much further to the right than it ever has been. I mean, can you at least...
What is the right? John, what is the right?
Towards the racialist... I mean, the right wing. I mean, come on.
That is not... Okay, the right wing is racialist?
Yes! I mean, by any...
Oh, so George Bush was racialist. George Bush said the same exact shit that Trump is saying. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When is the last time a politician has ever kept their promise? So Trump is just going to magically be the one to keep his promise?
No, I'm not saying that Trump...
He's already reneging on the H-1B visa issue.
I'm saying that we need to hold his feet to the fire and use what he's doing to advance our cause.
How do we hold his feet to the fire? Do you think he gives a shit about you and me?
Well, I mean, why would we criticize anybody then? Do you think the Jews give a shit about us talking shit about them all day long on the internet? But we still do it.
It's not about what the Jews think. It's about waking our people up. I don't give a fuck what the Jews think, clearly. It's about letting our people know who's trying to kill them.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think that with what Trump is doing and all the people that he's bringing...
Trump is not going to name the Jew. Trump is not going to end
saying that he will. I'm not saying that he will. I'm saying that... We have the potential here in this next year to reach out to the sorts of people that are already supporting Trump and to get them to at least consider some of our ideas. And that's
right. We need to use him and not be used by him.
Well, right. I mean, this is my point. Sinead, thanks for joining us out. Really appreciate it.
Good night, John.
All right.
I want to be a girl.
Okay, little Jimmy. As a 4-year-old child, I trust your judgment to make life-altering decisions about your body and gender. But where can I get some help for this?
Well, we can help. Here at the Michelle Obama Academy for Transgender Children, we will convince you and your child that gender is just a social construct. Bruce Jenner knows that just because you were born with a penis, that doesn't mean you need to be a boy. It means that you need to chop it off and get a neo-vagina. At Michelle Obama's Academy for Transgender Kids, we know the importance of chopping off genitals.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Realist Report. We are live tonight on the one and only RenegadeBroadcasting.com. This is John Friend, and I'm going to be joined in the second hour by my good friend Zan Overall. He's going to be calling in here in just a couple minutes. And by the way, a 440 number was calling during the break. We can take some calls here in the second hour if anybody wants to call in. So the 440 number, if, you know, feel free to call back in and I can add you to the discussion and you can participate. But real quick before Zan calls in, I just wanted to thank everybody who has subscribed to the Realist Report. There is a featured article over on my website right now where I kind of go over this. We did as I mentioned in the first hour, we did reach the 100 subscribers mark by March 1st. Right now, it's at like 110, I believe, exactly. So again, I just wanted to thank everybody who has supported my work in the past. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot to me. It's really humbling, frankly. And, you know, I hope I'm able to do this well into the future. And I think I will be able to. You know, I have some big plans in the near future. So stay tuned. And again, I just want to thank everybody. I did update the prices for the subscription feature. I do still have the lifetime membership option, but now it's $100. It was $75. So again, thanks everybody for taking advantage of that $75 offer. Now it's $100, as I mentioned. There's also 1-year subscriptions, 6-month subscriptions, 3-month subscriptions, and a 1-month subscription. All the details are over on my website. You can check it out and do consider subscribing. Let's see. We have a caller coming in right now. This is probably not Zan, but let me go ahead and add him. 423 area code. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Is this John?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, this is Jim in Tennessee. Great show tonight. How you doing, Sinead?
She could only join us for the first hour.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, as I see it, Johnny, I'm 73 years old. I've been in this movement for over 20 years now, and I haven't seen a lot of progress. You know, I was with the National Alliance and different organizations, but it seems like we have to take a new approach. I don't think the old approach is working. Do you?
What do you mean? I mean, what's the new approach?
Well, and in other words, okay, we're trying to create a sense of what solidarity between white people. And I've been trying to get people, you know, interested in white solidarity and white progress and white renewal. The problems I see were too individualistic. Now, other races, I notice like they have a natural sense of solidarity with their own people. We don't seem to have that naturally. And maybe it's because I think the white race, there's so much diversity in the white race. I mean, like every other white race, they have, you know, they have black hair, they have brown eyes, dark hair. You know, we have light eyes, light hair, dark hair, brown eyes, blue eyes, you know, all this type of thing. So there's less, I think, of a natural, shall we say, inclination to identify with other whites because there's so much diversity within the white race. Okay, now that's one problem. And another problem I see is that Okay, now like the Chinese, instead of criticizing, they always say, how can we learn from the Jews? Now, we have to ask ourselves, what is the secret to the power of the Jews? Why have they have such a hold over the world? And it is through eugenics. See, the Ashkenazi Jews, the rabbis, have always married the most intelligent of the Gentile women, and they have bred eugenically for certain qualities. Now, if we were to breed for Aryan qualities, you see, we would be able to be in control. I mean, because, see, I think the reason the Jew is deceptive is because they have this tremendous sense of, shall we say, survival. I mean, they have it's the most important thing for them is that the Jewish race survives. And that's why they will do that. I don't think they're, you know, deliberately just trying to lie just to be lying, you know, like the Holocaust. But I think what it is, they just want to survive. And
it's part of their evolutionary strategy. It's part of their DNA. I mean, these people are they've always been liars from the very beginning.
Right. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Ashkenazi Jew has the highest verbal IQ in the world. I think it's about 120. So they're able to persuade people, you say, to go against their own best interests. And now, again, I'm getting back to eugenics. I think what we need to do is stress eugenics, breed a Aryan race. And I'm not talking about necessarily, see, here's the thing about the Jew. They're a mixture of all the different races. They even have some, I think, 5% black Negroid blood, okay? So I wouldn't be too concerned about even race mixing. But the thing, we need to have the best qualities of all the races. And I mean, if we have a mixture of white, Asian, whatever, I mean, the thing is, the people who are the best Aryan, the most intelligent, most noble, the ones with the best features, intelligence, health, they should be encouraged to reproduce, and the lesser should not be, you see, encouraged to reproduce. So that way.
Huh? Well, I mean, I don't really disagree with you. I think we all just have to get serious and dedicate our lives to this and really walk the walk and talk the talk. And I know it's hard, and you know, it's a very difficult world we're living in, but you know, and I think the people here at Renegade are serious about this. I think there's many other people outside of Renegade that are very serious about this. But I mean, we can all just do what's in our own power. We need to live the best life we can. We need to be the best spokesmen, the best representatives of this movement, of this information, the best communicators of this information as we can. I mean, really, I think it's all about educating yourself, getting comfortable with this information, being able to explain yourself, being personable, being, being a normal person, but, you know, being educated and being cognizant of what's actually going on and taking a stand and not being afraid. We see, and this is one thing that I agree with. I think we have become so weak, and it's not a man thing. It's not a woman thing. It's just a general societal thing. We need to man the fuck up and get serious about this shit. And I'm sorry, I'm fussing right now, but you know, that's really how I feel. Jim, I want to give you the last word. I got my friend Zan Overall on the line here. He should have joined us, and we're going to talk about some of his activism in just a moment, but I want you to finish up real quick, and then I'm going to go back to Zan, or go over to Zan, I should say.
Okay. Well, I say the thing is, you know, like I used to be, I was a writer on the Renegade Tribune, and I had some controversial ideas, but I mean, they would attack me ad hominem. They don't even know me personally. So I think there's too much backbiting back. People say, oh, you're an agent, you're this person. You know, no, I mean, I think you're right. You have to have proof of, you know, but the bottom line is just because someone has a different idea from the majority doesn't mean they're necessarily an agent. Okay. But
well,
the bottom line,
that's what I agree with. I mean, I totally agree with you. And I think that's why I'm not focused on attacking other people or even necessarily criticizing other people. I'm focused on me and my message and what I can do to benefit and advance this cause.
That's right, absolutely.
That to me is the most productive use of my time. And you know, everybody out there has to determine what is the most productive use of their own time. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
Like Sinead, for example, I love Sinead. I love what she does. You know, people on this network, I mean, I may not agree with every single last thing that they say, just as they probably wouldn't agree with every last thing that I say. But I mean, this is my own personal opinion. And in my opinion, the most productive use of my time is to do what I'm doing. And, you know, even the whole Trump thing, I think, you know, I think that plays into it as well. But yeah, that's what this all boils down to, is really being the best representative of this movement that you can be.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I'll let you go, Joe, but before I go, I want to thank Sinead again for her rendition of the Victory March of the Triumphant Aryan Republic. She did that a couple years ago, and it's got, I think, over 100,000 hits now on YouTube. She has a beautiful voice. You know, I don't agree with everything she said, but I do agree with a lot of things she said. And you're doing a great job, John, and you have a wonderful podcast, and you just keep up the good work, buddy, okay?
Hey, thanks, man. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, John. You take care. Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Zane, can you hear me, buddy?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Very good. Sorry, we had a call come in right before you called in. It was my a guy I know, actually, Jim. He used to contribute. I've actually interviewed him on my show in the past, and he used to be a regular caller in here to Renegade, so it was nice hearing from him. But yeah,
his name's
Jim.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wanted to bring you on, Zan. It's been a while since I've had you on. You're an awesome active. Talk about activism. Sinead was talking about activism there in the first hour. And you have to be the most active activist I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, well, I fooled you then, because I don't spend as much time as I'd like to on it, you know. But I enjoy it. I think getting in people's face, and not in a horrible way, but just contacting them, and instead of just getting on the internet and talking to the preaching to the choir, you know.
Yes, well said. I agree with you. And you know what, Dan, let me actually, before we talk about your activism, let me just tell you about a recent event that I attended with a couple friends of mine in San Diego. We went to a lecture at Cal State San Marcos. And San Marcos is it's a city in North San Diego County. It's in San Diego County. It's just north of, you know, San Diego, the city itself. And they have, you know, Cal State San Marcos is a fairly, you know, decent sized university. And guys, this is something, I mean, anywhere you live, there's got to be some sort of university near you, whether it's a community college or state college or whatever it is. And there are events that you can attend. And this is something that we're going to try to do more and more often, at least with some of the guys that I know in San Diego. We went to this lecture and I posted a photo of the lecture on Facebook. We actually have an MP3 file of the Q&A. It's not the best quality, but I just really haven't had a chance to post it on my website. I will. I should be able to in the next couple of days. But
What was the talk about?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just getting to. This woman came in and gave a lecture about the imperative, the key word imperative. It must be done. It has to be done. The imperative of diversity, right?
Oh, God.
Right.
Yes.
So, of course, you know, and I mean, really, diversity is simply a code word for less white people. That's all diversity.
Yeah.
It means less white people, more browns, more blacks, more gays, more Jews, more transgenders, you name it. So this woman came to this university to talk to these students, and there was a decent amount of students there. I would guess that most of them were going just for extra credit from their class, but almost all of them were Mexican students. We were like the only white guys in there. We probably stood out like a sore thumb, man. It was like me and like four other white guys.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like either a woman or some other minority. And this woman that spoke, she was a white lady. And, you know, she's preaching about diversity. And Zan, I'll tell you what, man, once she got done talking, we literally took over. We dominated the whole entire question and answer session. We were the only ones there that were talking to this woman and asking her questions and being very critical of the things that she was saying. One of my friends who I went with, he went up and asked the first question and did a great job. Again, I'll post the MP3 later. And I followed up and I talked to her. I mean, I was talking to her for a long time. And this is something that needs to talk. If you want to talk about good activism, this is something that is very easy to do.
You know,
it's not like you're risking anything. All you got to do is show up at one of these events or one of these lectures and listen to what they have to say, be respectful, and then chime in at the end. And that's exactly what we did. And I think it was good. I mean, we weren't there to simply, you know, to convert anybody necessarily. But, you know, I think it was good what we did in the fact that these people that are going around and really brainwashing kids and advancing this very anti-white agenda, people aren't putting up with this shit anymore. We're going to show up and we're going to tell you how we feel. We're going to debunk your lame ass arguments and, you know, we're going to do it respectfully. We're going to do it professionally. And, you know, now is our time to shine, right?
Yes. Well, that sounds good. And of course you talk, you ask these, one of those questions and answers, you talk for a while and then they'll say, do you have a question?
Right. Well, we had plenty of questions for this lady. Let me tell you.
Well, that's good. You know what I mean. Anyway, so do you have to do like a commercial or something or an announcement or before we get going?
No, you know what? We have a commercial coming up in about 13 minutes.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So Zan, why don't you tell us about some of your latest activism?
Well, okay, that's good. I moved up to Nevada, and I go out to the University of Nevada and as often as I can. I have a lot of placards. I've always been made placards. And by the way, a little tip to people, I just get a 20 by 30 placard board and find out what you want to say on the placard, find out how many spaces in each line, and then create letters with your computer at different sizes, because you can make any size you want. And they look professional. They look printed out, and you can. That's a little tip to begin with. So I have a bunch here. We might just go through them a little later. But there's another tip when you're doing your things in public like that. You set up where you're working, and most people are going to stream past you. I don't understand. When I see a written something, I want to read it. I want to see what it is. And most of them just wander by. I'd like to joke a little with them. It's a time where a lot of the people who are going to come to the college next semester or something, they're being led around and shown the campus by these guides, and I have there with my signs, and I say, look, I talk to the people in the crowd. I say, now you see here at the campus, elderly eccentrics are allowed to do their thing. And this is nice because that way your crazy aunt will be able to visit you. A little joke like that. And So, and the other point, the serious point I want to make for anybody who's considering doing this is talk up. If you just stand there, they'll walk past you. They won't read your stuff or take your flowers. But just speak to them. And even if they just walk by, they will have heard your message. It'll be in their subconscious mind forever, especially if it's something new to them. You see, it'll sound like a pervert.
Yeah. And that is, you know, the most important thing is to get our ideas into people's minds. I guess it is sort of subversive to a certain extent. You're not like sitting there explaining and elaborating your point of view, which in many cases is very difficult to do. It's hard to convince people of our perspectives. I mean, it really is. And I think signs that you make, for example, you know, Jews did 9/11, for example, or Israel was behind 9/11. I mean, people see that, and that's not just going to be something they see and sort of disregard. That's something that's going to stay with them.
Yes, Israel did. I say Israel did 9/11, not Muslims, and that's a new idea for most people. but you know, so easy to prove, and you don't expect to have a road to Damascus experience for them. They're not going to just pick it up. But you'll open the door. You'll
right.
open the door, and when the subject comes up somewhere else, they'll be open for it.
Uh huh. Yeah, and Zan, you know what? I remember when we first met. I was so impressed with you because you know, and you've been doing activism for a very long time. And
yeah.
I was struck because you were doing activism about two of the most controversial topics, but two of the most important topics that need to be understood, society on a society level. We have to get to a point where people realize that 9/11 was a lie and the Jews were behind it. And we also need to get to a point where you know, it's an acceptable position to understand or to express explicitly and openly that the Holocaust was a fraud. And these are the two issues.
Yes.
Yeah, these are the two issues that, I mean, I've concerned myself with my own writings, my own, you know, podcasts and broadcasts and whatnot. And these are the two issues that you have focused on. So, I mean, from the very beginning, I was like, holy cow, here's a guy that's going out there and exposing the two most important issues, in my opinion anyways, you know, to the
public. Go where? What did you say? I missed that. Where? This guy's...
No, I mean,
I used to go exposing
the stuff.
Exposing
these two issues, which to me are central to, I mean, to our struggle in general, but also just to restoring some sort of sanity and truth to our society.
I have to concentrate more on the race thing, on the taking out the white race. That's something I probably will do next. I have there is a black organization here at the campus, and the guy came and talked to me, and I have a couple of placards. One says at the top says Black Lives Matter. So hey, I'll just read it to you. Black Lives Matter. So live them responsibly, blacks.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Don't go beat up a cop and try to take his gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you the rest of the placard. So live them responsibly, black. Trayvon and Michael didn't, and they lost theirs. They
yes.
lost their black lives.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, I'm a placard is a sort of a literary form now, because you have to get your point across in five lines and make it succinct, you know.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, you've always been kind of hip to sort of, you know, the racial aspect to a lot of these issues that we deal with, and you know, it's something that I've been talking about for quite a while as well, and it's equally as important as 9/11 or, you know, revisionism in general. And also, all of these issues sort of revolve around the Jewish control of our media, of our information, of our government, of, you know,
yeah.
Hollywood, and many other aspects of our society. And Zan, I remember when we first met, you know, a lot of these issues that we talk about, they were sort of taboo, even in the alternative media. And now,
oh, that's right. Isn't that amazing?
Now we're at a point where, I mean, if you're in the alternative media and you're not talking about Jews and you're not talking about race and you're not talking about how the Holocaust was a fraud and 9/11 was done by Jews in Israel, I mean, you yourself are considered sort of suspect, right? I mean, we've like flipped the tables over.
Well, it's coming. It's come to that. I remember when it wasn't, when they I went to a meeting down in Los Angeles when I was living down there of a 9/11 truth group, and I at the meeting I said, look, you talk about 9/11 and the phony government story, but you won't say who did it. You won't say, and believe it or not, here's what the leaders said. Well, if we said that Jews did it, we would lose our credibility. Isn't that? Those are the very words. But that's changing. That's changing.
Totally changing. Totally changing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, even, I mean, this idea of Jewish control and influence in our society is literally sort of, I don't want to say it's a mainstream topic, but there have been examples of people in the mainstream talking about it. And I don't know if you caught this one, but to me, this is a very important development. Are you familiar with Michael Scheuer or Michael, I think it's Michael, it's S-H-E-U-E-R, Michael Scheuer or Schuer or something?
I don't know the name exactly, I couldn't say for sure, but I don't know what you mean, tell me more about him.
Yeah, he was a former CIA intelligence officer, and now he's and he's been a political commentator for a couple years now. You know, he's been on CNN and Fox News, and he's written for a number of mainstream publications, but he's always been, you know, very critical of the government and whatnot. And he's a pretty solid commentator, at least from a mainstream perspective. And he came out with a comment just recently, and I'm going to have a link to this story when I post this program. Let me just read you what he said here. This is a quote, and this guy is very, this guy is very mainstream. He said, it is true that disloyal, Israel-first Jewish Americans are an important problem, as well as the main driver of the derangement of U.S. foreign policy into one that results in our involvement in unending and almost always unnecessary wars. They are the engine of corruption on foreign policy issues in the United States. But though they,
whoa, that's great.
He's saying this. Yeah, he says, but though they will always be disloyal, they would be absolutely impotent and indeed comical if their campaign contributions, media power, and threats of political retribution did not have a seemingly unending supply of prominent U.S. citizens who will take their money and do their bidding. So he's talking about how the Jews, we should expect this from Jews. I mean, they're not even, you can't even call them traitors because they're not really Americans. They're Jews. So we should expect this.
Well, they claim to be Americans, you know.
Well, right. They have people fooled because they're actually a racial minority, a hostile racial entity operating in our society. But he's saying that, look, these people, we should expect them to be traitors, so to speak. But they also have all these puppets that they've bought off and, you know, manipulated and blackmailed. And these people do their bidding. They're advancing the interests of the Jews at the expense of their own nation.
You know, that reminds me, I was down in UCLA, and Israeli journalist, his name is famous, you would know him, was going to talk there. And I wanted to talk to him, but I did get a placard up or something. He said, well, one of his, I had his quotation from him. He said that the neocons, Jewish neocons, got us into the Iraq War. And so I say, I talked to people that were to talk and did what I could. And I said, now, is it anti-Semitic for me as an American to resent the fact that this one powerful minority, got us into a war that has been disastrous for us? You know, you can always ask that. Is it anti-Semitic for me to resent X and X? Israel attacked the USS Liberty, trying to sink it, get
Zan,
into the war.
Zan, hold that thought. We're going into a break. We'll be right back, guys. Stick with us.
Okay.
Hi everyone, this is John Friend from TheRealistReport.com.
I have a couple questions for everyone listening. Are you still watching television? Do you pay for a cable subscription? It should be obvious to everyone at this point that the television, mass media, and modern entertainment complex are tools used to systematically deceive and program the masses. These outlets are being used to psychologically and emotionally exploit us in order to advance destructive cultural agendas as well as false narratives of history and current events. The television is a weapon of mass deception. Turn it off and get online. Support independent media outlets like TheRealistReport.com and RenegadeBroadcasting.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to The Realist Report. We are live tonight from Washington, D.C., and we are joined by Zan Overall in the second hour, a good friend of mine, and we're talking about some of his activism and a variety of other topics. And let me just mention, 440, I know you just tried calling back during the break here. Go ahead and call back in if you want to participate in the discussion. I didn't want to take the call right there in the middle of the break, but yeah, feel free to call back in. Zan, welcome back. I wanted to bring up, I wanted to bring up an article real quick before, you know, maybe this guy calls back in here, guy or gal, I'm not sure. I don't know if you saw this. It was a recent article I found in the New York Post, and the title is "Assemblyman Demands College Fire Professor Who Blames Jews for 9/11." And
he got fired for that, huh?
Well, no, the professor didn't get fired, actually. It's a black woman professor, and her name is, what is her name? Oh, my goodness, what is her name?
I didn't see it, but it's very interesting. Tell me about what she said.
Well, this woman, she was a professor at Oberlin College, which I believe is in Ohio.
Oberlin,
I think it's in Ohio. And this woman, she's a professor, an associate professor named Joy Carrega is her name. She's a black woman. I actually just sent her an email and a Facebook message today to see if she would come on my program. I'd like to talk to her. She basically, she made some comments on Facebook saying that Zionist Jews in Israel were behind 9/11. And she made a number of other comments that were very politically incorrect, to say the least. And, you know, the media has been freaking out about it, you know, demanding that she be fired. This guy, Dove Hickend, I think is his name. He's a Jew, obviously, and he's an assemblyman in the state of New York. And he's been involved in politics for, you know, forever, basically. And he was demanding that this university fire this professor. He even said that he wanted to see the both Republican and Democratic presidential candidates denounce this quote unquote anti-Semitism and this quote unquote hatred. So, and we see this.
That's all to the good. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Now, and we also see this with what's going on with Donald Trump. And I mean, really, I'm looking at the mainstream media and what's going on with the election and so many other things. And I'm seeing the political establishment and the media establishment, especially the you know, explicitly Jewish factions of them. And I mean, the Jews totally control both of these institutions, essentially, for all intents and purposes anyways. And they are just freaking out. The narrative is collapsing. People are waking up. The internet and the alternative and independent media are becoming more and more influential. and people are not buying their bullshit anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why Trump is getting where he is. You know, I don't suppose that he's not my ideal. His two children are married to Jews, and he knows where his bread is buttered. But if he's saying things that Jews hate, then he's on my side.
Well, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, I certainly don't think Trump is some sort of like savior he's not a perfect guy. I think he's operating very effectively. I think he, based on my, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think he knows a lot more than he lets on, or I'd like to think that. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. But I'd like to think that Trump is clued in to a lot of things that he doesn't necessarily say openly. But I mean, I frankly, I've just been really impressed with him. I think he handles the media very well, and he's the one that's in control here. And that's what's important. He's the one that is dominating and driving the discourse. And he is throwing a huge wrench into this whole political correctness paradigm, into, you know, just the mainstream discourse in general. He's not playing by their rules. And that's what worries them.
Yeah.
He's not only not playing by their rules, he is openly tearing down their entire, you know, sort of apparatus, their political correctness apparatus. You know what I mean?
And people are loving it because it hasn't happened before. You know, it hasn't happened before. They're exactly. So used to the people just going through the routine, through the motions, you know?
Well, let me give you just a couple examples of the Jews absolutely freaking out about Donald Trump. There was an article that was recently posted in Haaretz, which is this, sort of mainstream, very popular Israeli news outlet or an Israeli newspaper.
Yes, sure.
And the title is called "As an Israeli Who Loves America, I am worried by Trump." So this Jew is very worried about Donald Trump. And this is just a brief excerpt. Let me just read this to you. He says, and this is, again, from Haaretz, a Jewish writer is writing this. "The first reason for Trump's success is fear for the nation's identity. American demography is changing fast. White Christian America is becoming a minority. In the two election campaigns won by Barack Obama, American politics celebrated the change. Now comes the reaction. Something dark and horrible is rising from parts of the conservative white population."
You're not allowed to do that.
Exactly. This is this Jew saying this. "Something dark and horrible is rising from parts of the conservative white population, which feels it's losing its hegemony over the land it has built." Well, goddamn it, Zan, isn't that exactly what's going on?
Yeah. You can see. He said he was a Jew that loved America, or maybe it's the Jew who loves America.
Well, I mean,
I'm joking.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, these people are freaking out about Donald Trump and the potential that he has, and it is a potential. You know, who knows? I don't think he's an outright white nationalist or anything like that. He certainly hasn't said that openly, and I don't think there's really any reason.
Well, he makes him be smart not to. I mean, you can only be so daring.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad to hear about that black lady. That's a lot like that other black congresswoman who spoke out and got hit for it.
Cynthia McKinney. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, one more example of this, and I posted an article over on my website that you guys can find, and I'll link to this when I post this program. I titled it "Top 9/11 Criminals and Jewish Neocons Are Terrified of a Trump Presidency." And here's the headline from the Jewish Telegraph Agency. "Jewish Republican Security Leaders: Trump would make America less safe." That's what they're saying.
Less safe, huh?
Yeah, right. Trump wants to deport illegal aliens. He wants to build a wall with Mexico. He wants to bring jobs back to America. He's openly critical of the disastrous war in Iraq, which was based on lies. And he's saying these things openly. He's,
now, who said that again?
This is Trump. Trump is saying these things.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. But were you quoting from what?
I'm quoting from the Jewish Telegraph Agency.
Yeah, it's so funny. These things that seem horrible to them is because it's just strengthening us. They don't like that.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, they can. Their biggest fear is "quote unquote" anti-Semitism, and really the truth going viral. Their biggest fear is losing control of the narrative, and they are. They are losing control of the narrative.
And yeah, well, they've got the TV news, and they've got the big papers, and people are walking away from them.
Exactly. Exactly right. Well, and I think they're not only losing control of the narrative, thanks to the alternative media, thanks to Renegade Broadcasting and my website and what you're doing, Zan, and what many other people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's our time to really shine, as I said, and we're doing that. You know, people are consulting our media versus the Jewish controlled media. So that's one factor. But the second factor is just Donald Trump himself. I mean, he's not saying anything like you and I would say, really. But what he's doing, he's bringing up ideas that have been totally marginalized, totally deemed illegitimate, and he's making them front and center of his campaign.
I like it. Something you just said reminded me of a placard of mine. You said men anti-Semitism. My placard says, "It is not anti-Semitic to tell the truth about the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty." It's not anti-Semitic. That's the name of the placard. But by the way, the USS Liberty, anybody listening, that's a very good talking point. It's a very good weapon to use against our enemy Israel. Because they killed 43 Americans, wounded 174, tried to sink the ship, tried to get us into war with Egypt, and like that, and it's so obvious, you know. And most people haven't even heard of it, but you get them to look at the facts, and you got them. I mean, if they're Americans, if they're good people,
can you believe that they got away with that, and we still have not invaded and conquered and overthrown. I mean, can you imagine that these people think that they got away with this?
Look who's president then. Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody doesn't know this, when they finally got the ship, got a message to the U.S. fleet about 100 miles away, the admiral sent fighter planes, and when Johnson heard about it, he said, "Bring those planes back. I will not have my ally embarrassed."
I know. It's incredible.
What a country this has become.
Zan, speaking of your anti-Semitism little quib there about the USS Liberty, I have a button that our good friend Sophia Smallstorm actually gave to me. And I have it on my computer. I have a bag for my computer that, you know, if I go anywhere or travel anywhere, I throw my computer in it. And it says, "Too much knowledge is anti-Semitism." And isn't that just a perfect way of putting it?
That's good, because you don't see the punchline till you finish reading it.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Look, let me. I jotted down a few items that I wanted to mention.
Please do. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just finished reading a great book. It's been out about 3 years, but I just came across. It's called The Myth, MYTH. The Myth of German Villainy. Now, you probably haven't gotten around to reading, but you know about it. It's just the history of how Germany was a very much respected and loved nation until the propaganda war started against it, in World War I and World War II. It was a very much respected nation. And by the way, and it tells a history of Germany. You know, Germany wasn't a nation until 1870. All these others were nations for a thousand years, you know. But if it had been just a collection of little duchies or counties or whatever they were, and it was only after Bismarck fought the Franco-Prussian War that it became a nation. Isn't that amazing? This book is just amazing. It's wonderful. It tells so much about Hitler. By the way, you know, the anti-New York Times, Mike King, he calls him the great one. He was, too.
God. Yeah, God bless the man. God bless Adolf Hitler. And see, even saying that, that should not be controversial at all. I mean, he really was the greatest leader in modern Western history.
Speak up a little. I'm losing you a little. Go ahead. What?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just saying, I mean, you know, Hitler really, by any objective analysis of what he was doing, what his message was, what he was attempting to do with his country and really, you know, Europe and the world generally, he was really a true statesman. He was a true leader. He was the most righteous and honorable leader in modern Western history. And that should be...
Yes.
That should not be like some controversial opinion or statement. That should be like understood as fact by people.
A man with his morals would never have thought of gassing Jews. And oh, it's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
Well,
yeah. By the way, my next placard I'm working on, it's going to say this. Can you say something good about Hitler? That'll get their attention.
Yes.
Can you say something about Hitler? You can't? I can. And then I'll say, Hitler saved half of, saved Europe. I'll just say Europe. Actually, he saved half of Europe. He saved half of Europe from our mass murdering ally, Stalin.
For sure.
That's something people don't think about.
Amongst many other things that he did. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, and he was a smart man. He had every. They talk about the Versailles Treaty. After the war, it didn't take very long for a lot of leaders to say this Versailles Treaty is a monstrosity. It's immoral. It's illegal. So when he took back the parts that had been taken from Germany, he had a lot of support. He wasn't just a voice in the wilderness. So. Anyway, folks listening to this, it's called The Myth of German Villainy. I won't bother giving you. And then, so that's one thing I was going to plug, you know?
Sure.
Let me see what else I got. What else I got? Getting up.
And that is a very important book. I've said this before. I do have a copy, and I still have not read it. I feel embarrassed to even say that, but
it'll be news. It won't be total news to you because you know all this, but
right.
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let's talk about one thing.
Yeah.
We're in big trouble food wise. The drought. Is no joke. The drought, not just in California, but all over the West, is god awful, and I don't know exactly what's doing it. It might be a natural phenomenon, or it might be part of the weather warfare that people are capable of doing, and or it might be a cycle thing, Now, that gets me to one thing. Oh, what do you see as the reason for all these DUMBs, D-U-M-Bs, deep underground military bases? The elite are definitely planning some kind of protective plan, but why are they doing it? to not just to control the people they can control them that pretty well. I think it's some event happening. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's a good question, and really, I'd be simply speculating with my response.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Right, and I tend to think that. For example, there's a guy named, I think his name is Richards. Is it Richard Souter? I think is his name. I think that's his last name. Richard Souter. It starts with an S. He's been on, Jim Fetzer's radio program in the past. I've heard him there.
Yeah.
I know he's been on Rents, and he's been on a few other shows that I listen to. And, he seems to scholarly, like, document this stuff. And yeah. I mean, he seems like a pretty legitimate researcher. And I don't really know. I honestly don't really know. I think that it is a reality that there are military bases underground. There's probably an entire network of these bases that are connected through tunnels and whatnot. And that certainly wouldn't surprise me. But I just really don't know, man. I really don't know what the purpose of it is. I don't know if I will say this. I think that a lot of the sort of doom and gloom scenarios where the world's going to end or everyone's going to die or, we're all being poisoned and all this. And not to say that some of this stuff isn't happening, but I think a lot of it is used to demoralize people. And I mean, for example, with chemtrails, I never really saw chemtrails. I interviewed Sophia Smallstorm, our friend, just a couple of weeks ago. And I was telling her that I have not seen any chemtrails where I'm at in San Diego for a long time. And I have seen so many chemtrails lately, every single day I see them. And I took some photographs. I posted it on Facebook the other day. I see them all the time now, and I went like not seeing them at all. So there's something very real behind this, but I just don't want to let it consume me and to let it, make me scared or intimidated or something like that. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I'm not afraid of dying. I mean, frankly, I'm really not at this point.
You're not a what?
I said I'm not afraid of dying.
No.
I mean, like, if this stuff is harmful for us, which, no doubt, I'm sure it is. It is what it is. What can I do? I'm not going to sit here and stress about it because I don't think that helps anything.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, that's my point. I mean, I think a lot of this I just really don't know. I mean, I'm willing to entertain different ideas.
Keep your eyes and ears and your mind open to it. But I just saw something today that. The world is coming to an end. It's been happened over and over again, and this Planet X thing happened. This is that, but they keep putting a date on, and then that doesn't happen. It's like the typical end of the world thing, and so I'm not going for that. This little spiritual idea, I think that one thing you can do. Even if you don't talk to a person or anything like that, I think that if you can be joyous in some way, if you can be happy, joyous, and spread that through your soul out into the world, even if you don't talk to anybody, I guess that's almost like the idea of the monks in their little cells. If you actually send out joy and love, I think you're doing the world some good.
Amen. I agree. I totally agree with you, man. Well, and that's what I was kind of talking about this in the first hour with Sinead. I mean, really, like, there's so many bad things and negative things going on, and there's all sorts of people out there that are involved in the alternative media that are, putting out disinformation or misinformation, or maybe they're even agents or whatever. But I mean, really, I'm at a point in my life where, for so long I was very down in the dumps and,
You were, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, really, you go through a stage.
You don't seem to be now.
No, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. What you just said is exactly why, because you're not only more productive, you feel better. I think it's very important for your health, especially.
Yeah.
And this is something I talked about with Dr. Lorraine Day on a recent
podcast. Oh, my. What a wonderful person.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome, yeah. So, I mean, I think this is key. Be happy. Do what you do. Be proud of what you do. Stand up for the truth. And, you know, don't hold anything back. And people do this in different ways, and I support that. But for me, I mean, I don't even know what the word is. I'm not intimidated. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I feel totally convinced that what I'm doing is right and righteous. And I'm on the good guys team. You know what I mean?
And by the way, just that made me think of my activism, which was what we were talking about. When you start out to do it, you have to open your mouth in public, and that's difficult. But once you start it, boom, it's no problem. And also, people think, oh, well, they're going to beat you up or something like that. It's never happened to me. They've knocked some placards out of my hand and stepped on them and things like that. That's not a biggie, you know. And I love people go by, and they, especially Jews, they will say some nasty things, or they'll swear at me with the crudest language. And these are not dummies. And I will say, that was so rude, you know. Just don't laugh at him, you know. And especially when a Jewish woman comes by and says "F you," you know, in the full minute, the whole thing. I say, well, now that wasn't very ladylike, now was it? You know, hey, how much time do we have?
You know what, man? We're literally like right at the end of the show. I mean, we can do this again. You know, we can do a podcast.
Oh, sure.
On my program. This was good though. I mean, I think, it's always nice talking to you, obviously on the air, especially, you know, getting your ideas out there. So Zan,
well,
thank you so much.
How many minutes?
We're out of time. We're out of time, Zan. Take care, my man. God bless. And thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Slow it. I bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be.
If you enjoy listening to Renegade Broadcasting, but are not also reading Renegade Tribune, you're missing out. We have some of the most insightful and hard-hitting authors from the past and present, covering some of the most taboo and controversial subjects. The Tribune is something you'll want to check out every single day. Perhaps you have what it takes to be an author. Sign up and submit your piece. Join us at RenegadeTribune.com.